Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here at Katanerds, we're big fans of iZotope software and their impressive range of plugins. And you, dear listener, get 10% off all iZotope plugins at iZotope.com with discount code NERDS10. Every Katanerds podcast for well over 5 of its 10 years has been edited, polished, and repaired using iZotope's wonderful range of tools. From their Nectar suite to EQ, compress, and lightly add reverb to give the impression that Matt and I are in the same room, to the RX repair suite to deal with pops, clicks, and background noise. In fact, every sound sample that you hear on our podcast is mastered using iZotope's Ozone Mastering Suite, and I can even compare audio, EQ, and levels to other similar released material using iZotope's Tonal Recall. It's all very good, and believe it or not, there are a bunch of free plugins that you can try. A vinyl simulator for added character, the Ozone Imager for help visualizing your stereo mix, and a vocal doubler for added richness and depth to your vocals. Pretty neat. Check it all out at iZotope.com.
So Matt, I don't know if you know this about me, but I have I know I obviously love guitars, but I also really like watches. I buy a lot of wristwatches.
Right,
that's a true fact about me. I love wristwatches. I spend way too much money on wristwatches. Also, you know, trying to find them with vegan leather straps and things like that. That is. but anyway, so I decided to link all my wristwatches together and make a belt.
Okay.
It was a real waste of time.
Joe, I thought it was going to be music themed.
I know. Well, yeah, I tell you what, people have been suggesting music themed ones to me, and they've been all right, but I wanted to deliver a good one. I feel like the last couple of weeks I haven't delivered a good one, so I wanted a really good one. Right. Sam Brooksby sent me an okay one. I like this one. It was does Freddie know how to play guitar? No, but Brian May.
That is a good one. I like that.
I should have done that one. God damn it. Yeah. Well, I should have done that. And I should have used this. I mean, that's supposed to be a boom. It came with the Zencaster like soundboard, but it sounds really weird. The drums sound modulated. I'm not sure it's 100%. I might have to make my own with my little drum kit.
I was going to say, what other ones? You got an air horn in there?
The ones that they provide, because I've obviously built plenty, but they give me this one as well. It's a bit too American.
Love it. Nice.
There you go.
We need to use more sound clips.
Well, yes, this week, because I feel like, I think you said to me as well last week, we got a bit into our old habits and we just ended up talking for the entire podcast rather than actually doing all of the segments that we plan to do. And the other thing is, of course, that, you know, we have things like topic of the week, which really we should be applying some time to. And we've been just getting to them on the end. But we're going to have to be on it this week. Because as far as show and tell is concerned, which is the section of the podcast, dear listener, where we demo gear, we've got like three things to talk about this week. I just realized I haven't even done this bit, Matt. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branson, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Oh, it's an exciting day.
It is an exciting day. I have to do that bit at the start, because if this is people's first podcast, they've got no idea who the two people talking are. So there you go.
Hopefully by now, they've just been like, I'm hooked. I'm in. How many podcasts have these guys recorded? What? 500? I'm going to listen to them all.
Too many, yes. But Matt Knight, you're back. You were away. You've been away in Norway? You've been away in Norway.
Norway, indeed.
Massive country, not many people there. You went to the Larvik Guitar Festival.
Yes. Here's a little fact about Norway for you. There's a really famous person from Larvik specifically who was a famous explorer who built a raft and sailed to Easter Island. I was just like, there's pictures of him everywhere.
Wait, that's the most famous Norwegian person.
but bear in mind, I'm going to have to find out the exact year. Probably not the most famous, but definitely a mental story. I think this was in like 1947, Joe. And he built his own boat and sailed something like 5,000 miles. So it's impressive. Yeah, it's not exactly like he sort of got on a cruise line and went Easter Island and then just paid someone to to go there. Thor Heyerdahl.
Of course, his name's Thor. that's their John, isn't it? That's.
Yeah, so the Kon-Tiki expedition. Him and five fellow adventurers sailed from Peru to Easter Island, basically.
Oh, they didn't even start in Norway. Oh.
No. Well, bear in mind that Easter Island is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And it took 101 days and they sailed 4,300 nautical miles. Wow. Please do Google a picture of the raft used on the Kon-Tiki experience, because it's basically a bunch of wood and a sail. So it was definitely impressive. But
I was going to say, when I think about, Norway, there are so few things that it's famed for that have made it to my ears. I'm not saying it doesn't, I'm sure it's a fantastic place with loads of famous things in it, but so few things kind of make it cross borders to here that I'm like, I think of Norway, I'm like, well, there's that Beatles song. And of course, when you were sending pictures from the guitar show, there was a guitar brand. I don't know whether they were called Norwegian Wood or that they'd actually used Norwegian Wood as a tagline in their guitars. But I was like, my goodness.
Yeah. The guitar series, which we'll talk about shortly, was Norwegian Wood. And I was like, oh, what's this model called? And he was like, the Norseman. Of course, the most famous person from Norway is one of my favourite artists, Edvard Munch. He painted The Scream. Arguably one of the most famous paintings of all time. You start to go down the list and you're like, maybe there's not that many other people. although, actually, my dad was friends with a famous speedway racer from Norway called Olli.
They love boats.
Nygren. No, it's speedway as in on the bike track, but as in like a motorbike racer, but as in like over the bumps and round dirt tracks.
Oh, gotcha.
And also a guy named. Oh, no. Roald Dahl was also born there, apparently.
Wow, there you go.
I don't think they can really claim that he's Norwegian, but...
if he was born there, Matt, then he literally is.
Well, he could have been English parents and then just born in Norway. I don't know. I don't know. This is not the Norwegian famous podcast. but anyway, we were in Larvik, which remarkably for such a small town has an amazing little guitar show. So many guitar players there, and also an amazing array of Norwegian musicians, actually. But, from the guitar playing world, Robin Ford headlined the second night.
That is very cool. I'd love to see him.
I think my takeaway from Robin Ford was very loud, very bluesy. And then the Friday night was Frank Gambale. Frank Gambale, or Mr. Sweep, he basically invented sweep picking. He was the one that in the 80s turned it into a guitar technique. He wrote the first book on sweep picking. He did the first like demo videos on sweep picking. I got to spend a bit of time with him, and he's an amazing guy. He's really, really nice. But we talked a lot about guitars in the 80s and tone in the 80s and the 80s in general. And it's mad because he basically invented modern sweep picking. He invented the technique, how to use it for arpeggios, and he did a little clinic at one point about how he views the fretboard and taking things outside of like a pentatonic, because he doesn't do alternate picking. Everything he does is sweep picking. And it was really, really super interesting to watch that. Larry Basilo, or Larry Basilo, should I say, probably.
Is that pronounced well?
I think so. She's Brazilian, I think. Her trio played as well, which was really cool. We went out there as Boss with Alex Hutchins, who's obviously been a Roland Boss player for many years. And it was quite interesting because we took Alex, because he obviously draws a crowd. He's an amazing player, does a huge array of different like styles and songs and great demos for our product. And we were like, Alex, can you just use GX100 into an RC600 looper, like straight into the PA? Because he did a lot of the patches for it and stuff. And he was like, yeah, no problem. He did this clinic. And in the clinic, he was like, yeah, so, you know, my setup today is this into this, straight into the PA. Did all these amazing songs, huge variety of stuff from like tech metal to like funky Prince, like rhythm. He is so good. I mean, like, it was just an amazing, like, set of tunes. And he did this great thing where on the RC600, he sets it up, because you've got six loops, he sets it up in series mode. So rather than parallel having six loops run at once, so you just have one, then it goes to the next one and the next one. And most people would use it for like verse, chorus, bridge or something. What he does, he gets the audience to shout out chords, and then he loops that chord, and then he solos over the top of it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And and it's such a cool thing to see, but he's like, oh, I'm going to do that. And I was like, oh, I've got a good chord for you. Because most people just go like A or like B7. And he was like, right, I'm going to do this with this chord. It's like, some shout out chord. So I was like, C major 13 sharp 11. It was just like, damn it. but it was really good watching him do that. But interestingly, as soon as he finished playing, like loads of people went to the front to just look at the GX100 because they were like, that was just straight into... Everyone else was using amps, and you obviously got Robin Ford there. He's plugged into like a Marshall and a Fender. And even one of the organisers went up to Alex and was like, oh, man, what amp were you using? Tone was amazing. He was like, oh no, I was plugged straight into the PA with this GX100.
He is the right sort of player for a GX100, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
it's that sort of thing. Like, you know, he doesn't need the, I don't know, the organic valve amp sound. In fact, that would probably would be the wrong sort of amplifier for him.
Well, I mean, he's a Laney endorsee. Because he used Laney on the Stephen Wilson tour, and he does use amps, but he's just, yeah, he's just very good at being able to draw a sound out of something.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And really show it off dynamically as well.
That wasn't to be dismissive of a GX. I actually think that's an absolutely fantastic product. And kind of for me, the GX was, and I don't mind this, but the GX was the first time that Boss have nailed a like an interface. You know, it was much, much easier to use. Easy to just, yeah, well, because it's touchscreen for a start, that makes it very, very easy to move things around. I got very used to the old setup, you know, the line that you get with the different blocks. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's easy
to use. But I think things like Helix and Headrush and whatnot changed how people want to see those things. But
yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, so it was a good little festival. But a couple of things I picked out from that. One thing, and this is a total company shill, but I'm going to say it anyway. there was the dealer that was there had a table set up with all of these different guitar pedals on it, from lots of different brands because they were there to sell. And then they had this huge line of Boss pedals. And I went, man, Boss pedals look really good. I don't know, that coming from me, someone who's worked for the company and been a massive fan of the brand my entire life, I just thought it was something about that one moment in time where I looked at all the colors and I just went, it's so simple,
yeah,
but so effective. And obviously there's lots of great pedals out there that do lots of things in terms of graphics, and I sort of just had this sudden reappreciation, because I think sometimes, you know, I work for the company, forget about it, just how simple a pedal that's in purple that just says Dimension on it. You just go, yeah, you don't need any more than that. And I just thought, yeah, it was just a really bizarre moment in my brain. I was like, oh, that looks so good. But apart from that, there was a couple of guitars that caught my eye. The first one, which we've talked about on the podcast before, was the Eastman Romeo LA.
What a gorgeous guitar, and hilarious that I saw you put this in the list, and I was like, this is exactly the same guitar that at Guitar Summit I was photographing, because I was like, this is one of the most beautiful instruments here.
I sort of picked it up and played it and went, yeah, why wouldn't you own this guitar? For £1,750, I just think it's such a great guitar for the money, and such a great alternative to Gibson or more traditional hollow bodies. But, you know, the pickup cover design, which is that sort of radiator gold foil type thing, the trem on it, which is sort of not a Bigsby, but it's the same Bigsby style.
On the Romeo.
No, I don't think it's Bigsby. I think it looks very much like the Duesenberg one. No, it's Goldo, which I don't know who that is. I'm assuming that's some other sort of brand. Seymour Duncan Fat Cat P90s, but you've got the radiator covers on there. Yeah. I just think just such a great guitar. Already set up with 11s. It was already set up exactly how I'd want a guitar to play. They actually come with 11s out of the factory. But it's just such a cool guitar. Just such a cool guitar. Yeah. Only comes in one colour.
Is it the Pelham?
The Celestine Blue. Celestine Blue. Which is basically Pelham Blue, basically, let's face it. But cool F-hole design, just a really, really nice guitar. And I was like, man, I totally buy one of those guitars, until I played the next guitar that I saw there. And I'm sure we've all had this, Joe, you know, and everyone who listens, where you pick up a guitar and just go, how does this guitar exist, and how do I not already own it? You know, when you play something and it already feels like it's your guitar, that's when you know it's a great guitar. And we were stood next to this builder at Larvik, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's it looks like it's for Hausmann guitars or Hausmoen guitars, which is Hausmoen guitars. He's a builder out of Norway, been building guitars for the last 20 years. And he bought a selection of his guitars. And the one that I sort of fell in love with, if you go to their Instagram account, because his website is being reworked at the moment, it was the second guitar in from the right, the model they call the Norseman, from his Norwegian Wood series. Now, part of the reason it's called the Norwegian Wood series is because he only uses woods that are native to Norway.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is a kind of...
So it's not just that they're grown there, it's that it's native woods.
Yeah, well. So it's... Cool. So the guitar shape is kind of like a single cut, you know, Les Paul style, but it's a little bit more offset. And it's got
those sort of modern tweakings to...
Yeah, it feels like a very much a kind of... Nags guitars. It looks a bit similar to Nags guitars.
Yeah, that's
a
good one. Yeah.
So it's an aspenwood body, birch neck, and walnut fretboard. And the pickups were also a Norwegian company. They were called Edmeyer pickups, which I'm going to Google right now.
Now, this was really what you thought brought this guitar to life was the pickups.
Yeah, so
you couldn't speak more highly of them and the way it sounded and the pickup selection options on there.
Yeah, so you've got guitar. So you've got two pickups, three-way select switch, volume, tone, and then something that they call the Tone Factory, which is it looks like doesn't even have a website. I think he's just got a Facebook page.
Right.
And it was
very local luthier of him.
Yeah. And it was kind of like when he first said, oh, it's got this like six way select switch on it. I was like, oh, is it just like Veritone? And yeah, Veritone on an ES-345 or whatever generally sounds like crap, crap, crap. And then it's like one that's all right. And then, the normal pickup sound.
Yeah.
But this was just like four of the most usable. I was like on the neck pickup and I went, all four of those positions are amazing. And I sort of just went, I don't know why I even need a bridge pickup, because it sort of covered the bridge thing. And then it covered like all of the warm neck stuff. And it was just, I was playing it and I was going, man, this guitar is just amazing. I was absolutely amazed, absolutely blown away. And I was like, I'm gonna have to just buy some of the pickups regardless, because I just thought it was just amazing. But turns out his website doesn't work, so obviously in Norway they're sort of less bothered about that sort of thing, maybe. And I said to the chap that's built those guitars, I was like, oh man, like, these are amazing, do you sell them anywhere? And he was like, no, I just sort of make them. I sent one to Vintage and Rare and they took it on like a bit of a road show and sold one. I was like, well, how many guitars do you build a year? And he went, 10. And I was like, I'm never going to be able to buy it. It's just absolutely, just have a look on the website. Basically everything he makes, he puts on Instagram is custom made.
Right.
And yeah, he made a couple of like amazing arch tops where, you know, how on the traditional old school arch tops, the neck goes over the body, but the kind of the end.
Oh, sure. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Five frets sort of hangs over the...
The five frets are almost, yeah, raised from the rest of the neck. Yeah.
And what he did.
A nightmare for dusting.
A nightmare for dusting, indeed. So what he did was he got someone to, he extended the fretboard by about three frets. Then got someone to build a custom pickup, which he wound into the neck, the base of the neck, and then put a wooden cover over it. So you can't actually see a pickup on it, but the fretboard, the end of the fretboard, even though you can't fret that high, is actually the pickup.
Oh, that's very cool. I'm into that. That's a great idea.
But yeah, he's just like, oh, my main thing is like repairs and being in the workshop, but
you know, well, what was the name again of the brand, just for listeners, so they don't have to rewind?
I was. His name was Øystein Husmoen. Houseman. Right. It's spelled Husemoen guitars on Instagram. Or you can find him on the internet, but there's no website at the moment. NorwegianWoodSeries.com.
I'll try to remember to put a little link, dear listener, in the description of this podcast episode so you can check it out. Funny, you know, just I didn't mention it at the time, but I just randomly remembered you mentioning Eastman. That guitar is exactly the guitar that Ben Adrian, a friend of the podcast, Line 6's Ben Adrian, the, you know, one of the masterminds behind some of the best amp models on Helix. His wife bought him that guitar, I think, for his birthday the other week. But the Pelham Blue, the very same one. So that's so funny because it's such a random guitar that's only available in that finish. But it is awesome and it doesn't get enough love. Which is actually, you know, sort of segues quite well. We're not quite going to talk about this just yet, but we're going to come on to the topic of the week shortly, dear listener. This week's topic of the week was decided reluctantly by Peter Pesce, who sent me like one, then another, and then he commented on the Facebook group being like, on someone else's random question being like, maybe ask this one. But I'm actually going to do his main one anyways, but we're going to be talking about essentially a wallflower brand, so brands that are underappreciated, you know, not undiscovered necessarily, just ones that we just don't think of, you know, that maybe aren't quite in vogue at the moment. So that's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that that topic. But whilst we're on that subject, the question that took me far too long to find that jingle. whilst we're on that subject, duck. There we go. It's the question, duck. So it's the time of the podcast. Well, I will remind you, dear listener, that after this podcast is finished, Matt and I will head over to Patreon, where we're going to be dealing with a question of the week. They are questions that I lift from our Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. And we've got loads actually this week. I copied and pasted loads into Matt and my document that were really good. But Dewey Roebuck was the question that Peter Pesce thought we should talk about. So we're going to talk about that in the Patreon. He said, question for the group, is there a guitar you want but isn't made? For me, I would love a Gibson ES-335 Junior. So a single P90, one volume and tone pot, classic Junior. Are there any guitars that you want that don't exist or you can't find? I think that's a great question, Dewey. I agree with Peter on that one. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about another one as well. Maybe John Stevenson, he said that, is there any point in buying a small tube amp for practice if I end up using headphones most of the time anyway? I have a little Orange Crush 20 RT at the moment, which is fine and does the job, but I was thinking of trying something like a Marshall DSL-1CR or a Blackstar HT-1R. Is there going to be much of a difference with a small tube amp? Or is the honest answer just to get a Katana? So that's going to be an interesting question. Funnily enough, something that I've been dealing with in the R&D meetings with Ashdown at the moment is the ideas of, you know, making like 1-watt valve amplifiers for homes, things that look good in the lounge and stuff like that. So that'll be an interesting one. We're going to talk about that over on the Patreon. But before we talk about that, we're going to carry on with a couple of our other things. Matt, I've got a gig at the end of the week. At the end of this week, I'm playing in my new band, Silas Fennec, with my partner, Emma, which is something, you know, we've been writing songs together and planning to put them in this band, Silas Fennec, for the best part of 5 years. And so it's great that we're finally going to actually get on a stage and actually get to perform some of them. And we're opening for a friend's band, Dust and the Sunlight. And Ollie Dixon, the two bands that are co-touring together. And it's kind of, you know, Ollie Dixon's got a bit of a Bon Iver feel to it. You know, it's that sort of thing, very much ambient kind of guitar stuff. And Dust in the Sunlight, you know, I love them, but Billy plays an Acoustasonic now, so I don't know if we can be friends anymore. I'll be honest, this is going to be the first time I've seen Billy since he bought the Acoustasonic. I honestly don't know if I'm going to hit him in the face, but you know, they've got that sort of acoustic feel to them. And then there's going to be, you know, me and Emma in Silas Fenwick opening the set. I am taking one amplifier, the Fender Blues Junior, because the reverb on it is absolutely unmatched. I am taking three pedal boards and four guitars for a 25-minute set, which I think is pretty impressive. I'm taking my main guitar. My main guitar for the set is going to be the Gres Mendocino. That is a great guitar. That's in drop D. Then I need to switch to something in D standard. So I've got Jay's American Professional 2 Jazzmaster, which I'm going to talk about because I am in love with Jazzmasters at the moment. And then I have to have a backup of my drop D guitar. So I've got my Harmony Juno. And then also I have an acoustic. I'm playing the Yamaha Transacoustic, their little parlor Transacoustic. And then the three pedal boards I've got is one pedal board is a Boss RC3 loaded up with samples for in between tracks. And I've got that running out into a Fender Marine Layer reverb so that when I cut the samples, they don't cut dead. They've got, like, you know, some reverb tails to them afterwards. So that's one pedal board. The other pedal board has got the Fender, I can't remember what they call it, Acoustiverb or whatever it's called, something like that. It's their acoustic preamp, basically.
Right.
So that's got that and a little tuner on it for the acoustic. And the other pedal board is my main one. We've discussed it before on the pedalcast, on the podcast. I'm using the Chase Bliss, the Automatone preamp. I'm using a Game Changer Plus pedal, and I'm using the Anasound Utopia delay, which is a carbon copy style analog delay with a bit of modulation on it. That's it.
Nice.
Keeping that dead simple. But my point that I was trying to get to, Jazzmasters. I hate that Dark Knight finish on the Jazzmaster, sort of blue to black from the outside in, or black to blue from the inside out. Just weird, horrible finish. It's certainly not classic. It doesn't look right because the Jazzmaster pickups are black instead of white. Everything about it, I don't like, looks-wise. So to be honest, when Jay dropped it off here, I pretty much left it in its case. And that was about 3 years ago now. And I've started, you know, got it out to play it a bit. I was like, oh, it is really good, you know, playing it at home. But when you take it to a practice and you play it at loud, full volumes, I was like, my goodness, this thing isn't just good. It's excellent. And they've kind of switched up some of the Jazzmaster switching. Because I've never played Jazzmasters, man, I didn't even know how the Jazzmaster switching worked. I had to Google it. I had to Google Jazzmaster switching.
Wait, hold on. I'm confused. I thought it was just normal.
What do you mean,
it's
normal?
It's been since I've plugged a Jazzmaster in.
So on a Jazzmaster, you've got a master volume, a master tone, a three-way pickup selector, but then on the top horn, a toggle, and then you've got two almost cut into the body rotary controls, like roller controls in there. So if you have the little two-way toggle on the top horn set in the down position, that is activating your three-way selector on the lower horn and your volume and your tone. So that's how a guitar with two pickups works, right? That's standard.
I totally forgot about those switches. I was like, yeah, you know, you've got the toggle switch and a volume tone. So you're listening to Guitar Nerds, everyone.
Well, who plays Jazzmasters? You know, I certainly didn't until this, you know, this last few weeks. But then you put the toggle in the other position, and what that does traditionally on an old Jazzmaster is that limits you to just the neck pickup, so that lower toggle isn't making a difference, and it's giving you just the volume and the tone on just that neck pickup, so everything else is cut off. But it's different, it's going through a different different circuitry, so it has a darker, warmer tone than if you were to play the neck pickup on the other setting, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So because they're different circuits, it's different tones, even though it's the same pickup selection. which is fine. That's great. That's how Jazz Masters work. On the American Professional 2, they've changed that slightly. So when you're in the when you're on the upper selection from the upper horn toggle, so it's just the neck pickup only, now it's not the neck pickup only. What you have is your pickups in series instead of parallel, so you can use it in a traditional way, the way that Jazz Masters are traditionally, but you can also get some really thicker, fatter tones out of, you know, your bridge pickup or using both pickups as well, which is really cool, really interesting. And basically, it sounds great. And I don't use neck pickups, but I tell you what, I do on a Jazzmaster because it sounds amazing. Dynamic, rich, warm, everything you've ever wanted. I'm a convert. But
that's where we differ, Joe, because I'm all neck pickup all the time.
awful.
Do you know, yeah, Jazzmaster's a guitar I've never owned.
Right.
But it's, well, guitar, of course, I've always, you know,
you're not
Jay
Maskus. Does anyone who's not a Jay Maskus fan own a Jazzmaster?
True. I actually always wanted the Jay Maskus. I thought it looked very good. Yeah, because it's the V mod pickups in the American Professional 2 Jazzmaster,
yeah.
And they do that in Miami Blue, which I think is one of the best colours ever.
No, Miami Blue is inaccurate. It has to be Daphne or Sonic, I'm afraid, Matt.
You can't, wrong answer.
Well, you can't have a modern color because they weren't around at the time, therefore it's wrong.
Yeah. I disagree. But
my problem with the Professionals is actually I don't like any of the colors, really. They've got the Silver Burst, which is quite nice, the Mercury they call it, but it's not quite Silver Burst. It's a bit too silver and not black enough. So I can't go for that. Can't go for the Dark Knight. They do a traditional Sunburst and Tall, but it has a contoured heel. So if I'm going for a traditional colour set, I start getting more annoyed by the modern features, which then leaves me the two maple neck options, which are that blue, and there's one other I can't remember.
Maybe there's
something awful, like a peach or something like that.
There's actually one on Reverb now, and I remember these. Well, certainly a variation from a while ago. They obviously did a more modern one, but there's a Fender limited edition American Professional Jazzmaster with a complete rosewood neck in sky blue metallic. I'm just like, that thing is just a machine.
What I want is a Sherwood green Jazzmaster with a matching headstock. That's what I want.
Right.
I just don't think I can get that done at less than custom shop. So I might just buy any old Jazzmaster and get it refinished, I think.
I did see, and that's my first time seeing them in the flesh, at Larvik, they had the Fender gold foil Jazz Masters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the three gold foils
Dan Pilver, friend of the podcast, Dan Pilver, bought one of those, I think.
Did he?
That he bought, yeah.
Oh, nice. I think it was
that. Sorry, Dan, if it's the wrong guitar. He definitely bought something from the gold foil series, and I think it might have been that, but not sure.
It comes in one of the best colours of all time, Shoreline Gold, and possibly one of the worst looking guitars I've ever seen ever, which is Candy Apple Burst. I'm like, why have you taken Candy Apple Red and like painted it black around the outside? Just looks bad. But the Shoreline Gold looks dead cool.
Matt, what is objectively your favourite colour that Fender make?
That Fender make?
Mm, yeah.
Would it be wrong if I didn't say Shell Pink? I mean, I still think that Shell Pink is the best colour.
Right.
I think it just goes with everything. I think it's not too offensive for it to be like in your face, but it's also not too pale to be like boring.
I see.
Or bland. And I still think one of the best colour combinations was the custom shop that I did, which was black over Shell Pink. Like super heavy relic.
That was
a torque guard. That was the strawberry truffle. That was the best thing ever.
dear listener, I am interested in your favourite Fender colours. We should start a thread on that. I wanna see what the most popular Fender colour is, to be honest. Because you know, like I think maybe Burgundy Mist is mine, maybe it's Sherwood Green, you know, those are great colours. The two tone sunburst that Fender did in the '50s, that's a great colour. But I don't know.
Sticking on the theme of Jazzmasters, one of the best Jazzmaster colours ever is J-Mask's purple metallic flake.
Oh no! And, and you were going to say the off-white one that he did.
Oh no, that was
a great colour.
But actually, Rich Tone Music in Sheffield currently have a J-Mascus signature in red sparkle, which I don't think I've seen before. I mean, they're listing it as purple sparkle, but it's quite clearly red sparkle. They
it's not just
are
weird
asking,
photography.
No, it's definitely not weird photography, unless my eyes are truly deceiving me. But they want an eye-watering £2,099. Man, I wish I bought one of those guitars when we had one in the shop. And I still remember to this day when Jay Mascus came in and Jay Cross was working behind the counter and Jay Mascus walked past him and we had his guitar. Like
I remember
on the
where
wall.
It was opposite the till. That's where we put the Jay Mascus. Yeah, I remember.
And he just sort of walked past him and went, "That's mine," and then just all walked off in a totally un-Jay Mascus move. I was like, "That is just absolutely brilliant." But yeah, he has got some awesome. I mean, his telly. I saw his telly in a shop last year. The blue sparkle one. I'm just like, man, that thing looks so good.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's definitely a thing. Yeah, sure, fine. I can appreciate them objectively. I guess even if they aren't traditional colours, but objectively, they look great. Now, now, speaking of offsets, we should do our first show and tell actually. Because we've got a few things to get through. We've got these awesome pedals from Bespell Audio this week that I want to talk about. So there's a couple of those that I want to talk about. But actually, just as we're talking about offsets, and I know we've spoken about this a little bit, but I'm currently borrowing a Baum guitar I guess we spoke about them last week, but they're extremely cool Danish brand. It's got that kind of 50s surfy retro vibe to them. They do a number of models like the Wingman, the Backwing, the Leaper, and we've got the Conker 59, which is like a semi-hollow dual gold foil P90 loaded big speed, just gorgeous guitar. We've got it in a wonderful like burgundy mist, you know, one of my favorite colors. But actually, just as an all-rounder, because it's semi-hollow, because those P90s are so articulate, you've got two volumes and a master tone and a three-way selector, which is great because the Bigsby's on there. This is actually a fantastic all-rounder. So I recorded just a little track that I made with just the Baum, and I used the Tonex pedal that we've been talking about. Me and Philip covered it, Matt, whilst you were away in most detail. But the IK Multimedia Tonex pedal, which is just an absolute Kemper killer of a reasonably priced modeling pedal. And I've used the bulk of the octave cores are a Fender. Are a Fender Twin. I've got like a Mesa Boogie rectifier doing a load of the rhythm work. There's a little bit of lead that comes in, which I ran through a Champ. And the ease with which I can switch up the amplifiers that I'm using and the variety of sounds that I can get from the Tonex are absolutely amazing. That with the ease of use of the Baum, I appreciate, dear listener, unless, you know, I'm playing through a completely clean amp, you can't necessarily hear the Baum itself because all of these are drive tones, but it was just so versatile, so good, and it reacted so well with all of the drive tones on the Tonex. I thought it was great. So here is just an example of what a great all-rounder a Baum Conker 59 can be.
We'll be right back.
there you go. That was, yeah, the Tonex pedal and the BAM Conquer 59. I really like these guitars. They're really great.
They do,
and a really nice thing to just having sat next to me at my desk.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I mean, like we talked about it a bit last week, but yeah, still want that bass. But that guitar does sound very, very good. And I think, again, it's nice to hear it with not just clean, you know, how people are going to use it and that sort of stuff. And I thought it sounded really good.
Yeah, yeah.
When do you have to give it back, Joe? That's the question. Or have you done a good enough demo that they'll never ask for it back?
Well, technically, it's a friend of the podcast, Bruce from ADG. So
right, okay,
it's his. So I'm sure he's going to need it back at some point. But I'll try and work it out as long as possible because it is very good. And actually, it's sort of I think recently the Harmony Juno had gone back to being like my main guitar. I just have like a little stand right next to me at my desk, and the Juno's just fantastic just for having those two gold foil P90s. Surprisingly enough, dear listener, if you need to do anything, gold foil P90s might actually be it. I mean, certainly like last week I was making a metal demo for KMA, and it was just the Harmony Juno in drop D doing these pedals with this. I mean, it's testament to the Guardian of the Worm distortion and noise gate pedal that KMA make that it can turn basically any guitar into a metal guitar. But I was like, I'm doing it on this retro 60s inspired mini guitar, and it sounds amazing. So the Baum is the first instrument that's really taken over from the Harmony in the last little while.
Oh, interesting. Because that, yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. And I was talking to someone about it at Larvik, and I was just like, Harmony Juno all the way. It's just such a great guitar.
Yeah, both you and I own a Harmony Juno, and there's a reason for that, Matt. Like, you know, we both buy and sell an awful lot of stuff, but we both owned a Harmony Juno for the best part of 4 years now. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Since they came out.
Absolutely. Have they done a random side note, have they done anything else?
Well, they released the new guitar last year. It didn't quite it didn't make it. It made it into the gear of the year a little bit, but I not so much because I don't think anyone really played it. And it's, you know, those things are hard to win gear of the year, I guess, when you're just sort of reissuing something that was semi-popular in the first place. But I'm excited to see what they come up with next, because they're doing all the first load of Harmony guitars have been modern versions of classic guitars, like inspired by classic guitars, but they're starting to release actual reissues of the old things now. So
right,
I'm very excited about that. You know, that's way more up my street, being able to get those things again. You know, in the same way that Marshall obviously worked that out with the pedals, you know. We actually don't want modern versions of anything anymore. We just want the old things at reasonable
just
prices.
Just want the old things. Yeah,
at reasonable prices. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Anyway, we should we should talk about the topic of the week, which means that before we do that, we need to spin the wheel in order to discover who next week's topic of the week is going to be chosen by. So here's the jingle.
Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel. Spin the wheel.
My goodness, this week the winner of Spin the Wheel is none other than friend of the podcast and previous a person that I was employed with. He might have been there whilst you were there, Matt. I'm not sure. Joe Puttick is the winner. Good old
Mr.
Joe
House.
Puttick. Yeah. So Joe Puttick actually purchased a PV T60 that he shared on the Facebook group. Do you remember those? Weighed a ton.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. Absolute brute of a guitar. Surprisingly thin neck. Yeah, tons of weight, big ash body, huge PV pickups, just really, really good guitar. But he messaged me, and I did genuinely spin a wheel. This is wonderfully random because it's reminded me to talk about this this on the podcast. Joe messaged me to say when he was round the fella's house picking up the T60, the guy also showed him a fretless T40 bass that he had in black. So I'm absolutely going to message this guy and see if I see how much he wants for that. He said he was going to sell it to Joe. So I'm going to reach out and get that.
On the side, I'll give you a quick fretless story. When we were setting up for the show, there was a four sound to the dealer. There were also sort of, yeah, a bunch of guitars on display. And I was like, oh my God, they've got a fretless Sur. I was like, that's amazing. It was just a cool looking guitar. I was like, I'd love to own something like that if I had the money to burn, you know? And I was looking at his mate and I was like, called my colleague over and said, oh, look at that. And he was like, sort of looked a bit closer and went, and then sort of touched the fretboard. And then I realized that they just put a solid bit of plastic underneath the strings to protect the strings in shipping. So it's one of those like plastic string protectors underneath. And I was like, oh, what an idiot. It's just
like, that night, like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, it's just like, yeah. Bloody stupid. But there we go. I was just like, yeah, it was, I was like, oh my God, that is cool. I was like, all ready to pick it up and play it. And then he was like, no, it's just got a protector underneath it. Oh. I'm like, oh, that's a shame.
Well, I saw there was a company selling that sort of thing as like a fretless adaption kit for your bass.
Right.
So you don't have to own a fretless. You could just slot this thing in under the strings and turn it into a fretless.
That is ridiculous. I like it though. I like it.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Just get a fretless. Get a proper fretless. I'm trying to get a new fretless at the moment. I think I'm going to get a Cort B4FL MHPZ. Good name, isn't it? But it is cool. Name. It's like a semi-hollow, just a semi-hollow bass with an F-hole, Bartolini humbucker in the bridge. It's got a piezo. It's got a thumb rest cut into it already. Everything about it looks cool.
Cool.
I think I'm going to pull the trigger. I messaged them today and was like, hello, I do this podcast. Do you think I could have a discount? But, you know, I'm going to buy it anyway.
Hello, I am Joe from Guitar Nerds.
Yeah, I don't know anyone at Cort, so I had to sort of cold call them a little bit. But we'll see. I'll buy it either way. It will be great. Anyway, dear listener, we said we'd talk about Peter's question. Peter's question was this. The Wallflowers, not the band, the brands. Let's talk about some of the underappreciated companies making great stuff. Brands we just forget are out there, not exactly undiscovered. The internet has put an end to that. But what are the guitars, amps, and pedals that we should talk about more but don't? What is it about them that keeps them under the radar? Bad marketing? Do they just seem uncool? That's Peter's question. What do you think, Matt, off the bat? Does anything like spring to mind? A brand that just aren't getting the attention they deserve, but everything that they release, you go, this is great. It doesn't even have to be current. They could be, you know, it could be vintage brands that just have been missed out by people.
Well, I actually do have an answer, Joe, because I was actually going to put this on the... I was actually at one point going to put this on our little script, and I was reading a review on this in a magazine. I signed up to Readly, like monthly subscription service. So you get like, I don't know, 10,000 magazines a month to read. So I've signed up to all the guitar ones.
How can you? And this came right. Oh, they don't send you all 10,000. Right, that's good.
It's digital. But rather than paying,
I get it.
You know, whatever. And this guitar was up for review, and I was like, we don't talk about this brand very much, but actually, I think they're a cool brand. And maybe you won't hate me, but Godan makes some seriously good electric guitars. And I was reading the review on the
choice. What a great suggestion.
The Radium X. So the Radium X is one of their new models, and it's a T-style guitar, two humbuckers, with a kind of Les Paul positioned switcher, trem system. You've basically got a Seymour Duncan SH2 in the neck and a Bare Knuckle Boot Camp True Grit Zebra bridge pickup. So kind of real mix of sort of vintage and modern in terms of the pickups.
Wow, yeah.
Chambered mahogany body with an LR Bags bridge slash trem. So you've got the piezo in there. You've got blendable volume, three-way mini toggle for electric acoustic, one volume, one tone, and then three-way toggle for the magnetic pickups. And I just thought, I just love this guitar. And what's very cool is you can lock. It comes with a locking plate on the trem, so you can actually lock the trem off completely if you don't want to use it, which I think is quite cool, without cool. modifying the guitar. And it comes in a, I just think, a really good-looking finish. They call it rustic burst. I would say it's like tea stain, if that's a thing. Like when you stain a bit of paper and it's like, oh, I've just dropped my tea on it, but it's kind of looks kind of cool. And I just think Godin, we don't talk about Godin enough, and they're incredibly well-built guitars out of Canada. They make a great range of awesome guitars, awesome electrics, and we don't ever really talk about them, and no one really talks about them, and you don't see many people playing them, but they've been a brand for a very long time. And for me, I saw that review and went, that's absolutely amazing. And of course, one of their classics and a guitar that I've always wanted to own and never actually have, but totally fits in with my style and might fit into, maybe we'll come back to this guitar in the Patreon show, but the Fifth Avenue Kingpin. Their arch top.
I mean, that's it. When you say Godin, that's what I think about, is their Fifth Avenue range, which, dear listener, is their arch top, which, I mean, the great thing about Godin is how unafraid they are of making a no cut, because most of their arch tops are no cuts, and that is just cool. But yes, the Kingpin is actually a single cut arch top, but it's very cool. It's a great blend of kind of modern and traditional in an arch top.
They actually... we'll come back to it. We'll tease the listener now, but they actually make a Fifth Avenue, so single cut, single neck P rail.
Are you talking about the Fifth Avenue jumbo P rail, which is a no cut? You said single cut. You meant no cut, right?
Oh, I meant no cut. Sorry, yeah.
That guitar is my favorite guitar that Godin do. They do it in a finish they call Harvest Gold, which is like a sort of antique stain or slightly burst but almost relict looking oil finish. It's just lovely. The single P rail is like this gorgeous cream P90 in this weird, like, it's like a P90 that's been fit into a humbucker housing. It looks like it doesn't quite fit. I love it. And yeah, Bigsby, just that pickup in the neck, gorgeous sort of broken trapezoid inlays. Everything about it looks fantastic. The neck, just from pictures, looks like the fattest, widest acoustic neck you've ever seen. I love everything about this guitar. And then I not the end of the world price-wise either.
Absolutely. You know, they're super value. Joe, I think after this podcast, we need to reach out to them, because you basically can't buy a Godin in the UK.
No, which is, I mean, I'm sure in the US it's totally fine.
I literally can't see a single dealer that's got a Godin in stock at the moment.
It is a shame that they don't have the traction they deserve over here.
Yeah, so to me, that is 100% an underrated brand and something we should see more of. We need to reach out to them and be like, send me one of these radiums so I can demo it, because basically you can't get any in the UK.
No, that's true. Do you think... You know, I thought about this question earlier and I was like, do you think Dan Electro have become this?
Do you know what? It was only because I had a Dan Electro pedal on my screen that I was like, maybe Dan Electro, but I think Dan Electro, I guess Dan Electro have always been there, haven't they? But
they've had the recent fame with, I've forgotten her name. From Boy Genius, but has a more successful solo project. help me out. The listeners are screaming at the Phoebe Bridges. There we go.
Oh yeah, yes. I could only think of the name was on the tip of my tongue, but
I see. But yeah, they've Dan Electro have had recent, you know, sort of a regurgitation of fame with Phoebe Bridges playing their baritones. But you know, they're sort of this strange brand that kind of just they just seem to like put out, you know, like, oh, here's another 59 DC and it's in a sparkle finish, and now there's a pickup in the middle. Like, it's I realize that is literally what Fender do, but they seem to go under the radar a little bit. But I don't know if maybe they're still in people's, people are thinking about them now just because of the Phoebe Bridges thing. G&L are always the brands that, when people talk about, underrated brands. And the reason actually that they spring to mind is because Peter said, what's the reason? Is it because they're uncool? And the answer with G&L is yes, they're massively uncool. They are great guitars that play and sound really well, but it is a terrible headstock, and it just looks like a half done Fender. And for that reason, a lot of people don't get them. The sax player in my band in Polymath plays, and when he plays guitar, he plays an Asat Classic, which is their T style. Their T-style guitar, like, sort of 51 spec, and it's brilliant. It sounds amazing. And he plays guitar in like wedding bands and stuff, and it's a great all-rounder for doing everything. So they're certainly fantastic guitars. They just, unfortunately, people don't think of them, I guess, for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of G&L or the brand. Well, I guess, being Leo Fender's sort of last thing, it just never had the same punches. It's difficult when you invented probably the most famous guitar brand of all time,
and then one of the other most famous,
and then you're just like, can lightning strike thrice? I don't know, but actually they are great guitars, but certainly don't get the accolades that they probably deserve. And again, maybe it's because they're kind of like, unsurprisingly, sort of Fender lookalikes, and people are like, oh, just buy a Strat at that point. So again, you've sort of just made it he made it very difficult for himself, let's put it that way.
Well, that was kind of it. Music Man were at least different. They were doing different things. G&L went back to doing the same thing, I guess.
Probably G&L, but for me, I'd say Godin, definitely the biggest of the underrated brands.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Now, before we head on over to the Patreon episode, I just wanted to have a crack at one last. I didn't quite get to fit in all of the demos that I wanted to do of products that we've been trying. So we will talk about these guys in a bit more depth next week. But Bespel Audio. Bespel Audio are this fantastic little effects pedal company, handmade in the UK. I met the fella from Bespel at the recent Birmingham Guitar Show. He had a pedal board of all of his pedals. He sent us a handful of the effects that he makes. So he makes, I think there are five in his line, and we've got the Tour, the Gleam, and the Proxy. The Gleam's the one let's talk about now. So the Gleam is a silicone fuzz that's designed to imitate some of the most famous germanium fuzzes. And I made a little video for this, dear listener, on Instagram. If you go to the Guitar Nerds Instagram, there's a little demo of me trying out the presets. They come with these handy little cards. Each of the pedals comes with the cards with a bunch of presets. I love pedals that come with presets because it means that without having to boringly read them describe what each control does, you kind of get a feel for what each control does by checking out a preset that gives you a really baked in great sound. So I need to thing for the Gleam. Yeah, so the Gleam, because it does fuzzes, the three presets that it offers are the Tone Bender Mark II, a Fuzz Bass, and a Maestro FZ1. So those are the three settings that I set the pedal to for this demo. I literally go through them in order: the Tone Bender, followed by the Fuzz Bass, followed by the FZ1. I think they all sound absolutely fantastic. This is a great sounding fuzz pedal for people who are after those vintage fuzz tones, but maybe don't want to spend a grand each on three of those. It's a brilliant thing to have all of them baked into one very lovely pedal. This is what it sounds like. We'll be right back. There you go. That is the that's the Bespel Audio Gleam. I had a really good time. I especially loved the FZ one, which I ran last, which was more trebly, less of that sort of flubby low end that you get from the Fuzz Face and the Tone Bender. I think they're really cool pedals. Very simple looking, dear listener. They're literally all dark grey boxes with a stamped print of the name of the pedal, but the proof is in the pudding, which is not the way to say that. Someone told me recently, but anyway, it is. The proof is in the sound of the pedal, which is good.
It does sound really, really good. And to put the Tone Bender Mach 1-2, the Fuzz and the kind of Fuzz Factory and the Maestro Fuzz in there, all in a silicon pedal that's really stable, it just sounds really good.
Yeah.
It sounds really, yeah. really good.
Yeah, I've definitely been going down a little bit of a fuzz thing at the moment, looking for, fuzz pedals that really excite me. And this was absolutely, it is up there as one of the pedals that I love the most, that I might have to keep and put on a pedal board because it sounds so very good. I mean, next week I want to talk about the Tour, which is absolutely my favorite pedal that they do, mainly because the Tour is essentially an OC 44 treble booster, and that is the best sound in the world. So and he does a great job. They're just so authentic. The recreations are just so good. You know, I feel like the effort is on the sound of the pedal, because it certainly isn't on the look of the pedal.
Yeah.
It's not even top-mounted controls. You know, it's the thing here is how these pedals sound, and they sound very good.
Yeah, well, if that demo is anything to go by, I look forward to hearing some of the other ones.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, we will talk about them in more detail next week. But right now, that's all the time we've got on Guitar Nerds. If you'd like to get in touch with us, dear listener, to ask us a question or for any reason at all, then info@guitarnerds is our email address, or you can DM us on Instagram. Ask in the open forum on our Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group. If you're a Patreon supporter, then contact us through Patreon. We're heading over to Patreon now to talk about this week's question of the week. Join us there. Visit patreon.com/guitarnerds for all the info on how to sign up. You can do that for as little as $1 a month. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to another episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. But thank you most of all to all of our top tier Patreon supporters. Without you, none of this would be possible. Thank you to Marcus Deluxe, Scott Guitars, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbeck, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Jared Brown, John Conaway, The Studio Rats, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einsler, Mark Hizau Kanawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Simon Milbourne, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Loseth, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordwick, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.